Blog Talk Radio.
Unwell by Matchbox 20, released in 2003 on their album More Than You Think You Are. And I'd like to welcome everyone listening to a Team of Voices broadcast of Off the Rack. I'm your host, Raconteur. In case you're wondering, a Team of Voices is the name of our group on the allpoetry.com website, where you'll find the links to the poems that you'll hear on this podcast, and also be able to meet some of the amazing poets who are gracious enough to share their words. Feel free to join us on allpoetry.com. It's free to join. I hope you're ready, because now it's time to rack our brains discussing the things that drive us crazy and touch on how they make us think and feel.
And tonight's podcast is brought to you by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, if I'm not mistaken. And I've got a couple of people on the line already. My beautiful co-host, Miss Pretty Bird, how are you tonight?
Hello, hello. I am doing good. And we also have another caller since the intro was playing. So do your intros and I'll tell you who it is.
All righty. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about where is a quote from a movie what was it called, A Knight's Tale. I don't remember when that came out, but the one scene where the guy gets knocked on his ass and everyone stands around him and, you know, announces to him that, you know, you have been weighed, you have been measured and found wanting, come back when you're worthy. It struck me in a way that was more than just, you know, amusing in the moment. You know, it would be nice if our lives were scripted like that and we had, you know, people feeding us lines. You know, it would be convenient, but the reality of, you know, what surrounds that thought, I think that that struck me and why I brought that up tonight. So that's where my head's at, or not. I don't know. I guess it'll come out later. All right. Who else do we have on the line? I think we got the Mad Hatter.
Yes. Yeah, I took offense at that quote, that line. I took offense to it, so I got pissed.
Well, you know what it is. I don't know about taking offense or not, but you know, it just makes me think of the reality of how we're always being judged. You know, whether or not you know people will admit to it, what you do, someone's always looking at it and making a decision one way or the other about, you know, what was he thinking, or, you know, he should or shouldn't, or, you know, they don't want to tell you how to be. And
yeah,
that's kind of what,
yeah,
that
and
speaks
so are they.
To me.
And so are they in judging. Oh, it depends,
yeah,
on the
well,
same
yeah,
conversation
yeah.
you're having. Yeah. Yeah.
And
go
we have
Matt.
Sky.
Miss Sky. Oh, my God, she's up past the bedtime. Hello, Sky.
Sky.
Hi, I am up past my bedtime, but I took a nap and I had coffee and a vacation. So I think I'm okay.
Oh, bless you. I hope you have some fun tonight. You were actually the one I had the conversation with that brought that quote up and made me think of it again. And that would make a good topic. So here we are. Thank you, Sky. Well.
And I believe we have Wayne. Is that you?
That would be me.
Wayne, Jen, how are you, sir?
What's happening, man? Wrecking too? What's going on, my man? It's sad you don't see me get first cast.
I missed half of what you said. I'm sorry.
I said it's kind of good when you first get out of bed.
When you get out of bed. Yeah. Well, to me, it looks the same no matter what time of day it is, so there's that. Anyway, a little blind joke in case people aren't aware. I know you know it. Some people need that explained to them. I guess, why is he saying that? Does some come up in his world? I guess not. It does, but I'm not aware. I am aware in the sense that, you know, you feel the heat kiss your body as opposed to, you know, being a little chilly. But anyway, we need to get into that nonsense. So here we are. We've got a whole lot of poetry and a whole lot of, I want to say, we can take that thought about, you know, being judged, being weighed, measured, and found wanting. I think the most annoying thing about that is what do you find more annoying? When it's done openly and someone will say something to your face, or, you know, that they kind of do it behind their backs and you know they're doing it, but they won't admit that they're judging you. I think both happen almost equally. I don't know if it's more offensive when it's obvious that that's what's happening or not. You know. What do you think, Pretty?
I think that it's human nature to make decisions on everything we see every moment of the day, and that to me is little mini microscopic judgments on all things all the time. So for somebody to say that they don't judge people outright as a rule, that is to say they hold it in and they observe and then they try to gather more information before they offer their verbal opinion. But we all know, right down to, well, let's just take Facebook because that's easy to pick on. you know, people post they're drunk and they're like, how, you know, even if it's they're posting a picture of their food, like that is not picture worthy. What the heck were they thinking? Or I don't give a crap what they eat. How important do they think they are? Or look at their perfect lives that they I know so well that the rest of the house is a mess. It's only that room that's clean. You know, so it's not necessarily anything giant, but we all do. For Pete's sake, reality TV is there for the judging. I mean, if that's what makes that a thing. You know, like we all sit there and be like, I would never be naked in the woods, whatever what you want to call that stupid show. I can't believe that's even a show. I don't even remember what it is. Naked in the Woods. I don't remember what that thing is called. I'm like, why on earth? I was like, no. I don't do nature, much less naked nature. So no.
Oh, my goodness. Hatter, have you ever been naked in the jungle?
Depends on what kind of jungle you're talking about.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Did anybody else get, like, Welcome to the Jungle theme song right in their head the moment Hatter said that? Or was it just me?
It was just in my head.
I was just thinking about his upcoming trip to the bush, that's all.
Oh, my God. Down
under.
And this is why you're on at 11.
Yes, it really is. Hey, Wayne, did you bring a machete with you tonight?
I sure did. I'm ready. I'm cutting.
Oh, my goodness. Me and my inappropriate brain, you and your little comments, dear sweet rack, I'm now all up in Andrew Dice Clay, and we can't even go there because he's never going to be PG-13.
Moving right along.
Please.
Maybe I guess we should start with some poetry since people are actually here.
Can I say my opinion on it?
Oh, yes.
I think that I totally agree with Pretty Bird. I was going to add something too, though, but just off of what Pretty Bird was saying, I think anybody who says they don't judge at something, they're not really being honest with themselves, because we do always judge it, to the simplest things, to the largest things. And I don't think it's a bad thing. Just because, I mean, if you say, oh, they judged something, I think it gets a bad connotation because people think right to the negative. But honestly, there's a lot. First of all, we all do it. Second of all, in that comment or the quote that you have, I know Hatter said it's offensive to him right away. But if you look at it from the way of, well, what if you're in a relationship and you're finally you're judging all of their acts, and perhaps you're not the best person? Is it not? Empowerment to say to the person, you've been weighed, you've been measured, and you've been found wanting, like, you don't deserve me. So is it not a source of empowerment to say, I'm worth more than what you can give me? Not necessarily to say, you know, you don't have enough of what, you know, I need or whatever, or you know, you come short, but there are people that do come short because of their own choices. And I think if you kind of change it to that perspective and not go right to it, I mean, I think it's a good source of empowerment and then saying to yourself, well, I'm worth more than that. And I think that when you take it from that perspective, it brings a whole different meaning. And comment.
Not to interrupt and talk all over everybody, but we have a caller that I didn't even see, so I don't know how long they've been there, so my bad. 917, who do we have on the line?
Hi, it's Francine. How are you?
Great, how are you?
Hi, Rack. How's it going?
It's all right, you know. We're judging.
And yeah, that's how I took it.
Well, you know, what I was going to say to Sky is that's really where I was going with that thought, because on the surface, it's obvious, you know, about being judged. But the bigger picture is that you're bringing up is it's not just that, you know, that being judged. It's how we react to that judgment. You know, some people will take offense.
Terribly.
Some people will try and better themselves, you know, or meet the challenge or prove that they are worthy, or you know, and at the same time too, like you're saying, you kind of do need to tell some people sometimes that you know. What you're doing is wrong because, you know, they you know, I'd like to believe that they don't do it intentionally and someone needs to tell them that's not acceptable, you know. Whether it's something as generic because, you know, judging people sometimes, you know, they'll someone just on the color of their skin. And, you know, that's just the way that they grew up or whatever. And you know, how many people have had to tell their grandparents or whatever, you can't tell them that or you can't say those things. And you know, that was it's
true.
That way anymore, you know. So some people just are like that, you know. But anyway, that was the other half of the story.
If we bring it to a less extreme than any kind of racial anything, it's a safety mechanism. Well, first of all, Sky, to your thing, because I'm just going to be how I am. I apologize. To your thing, I love your outlook because you're all sweet and positive, and that's what I love about you. And I'm like, you know, there's a really fine line between empowerment and condescension, you know? Because sometimes people suck. But, you know, if you're walking down the street trying to get to the subway or call a taxi or whatever, you know you're not going to be walking on the side of the street with the people that are sitting there looking like they're ready for trouble or that are all loud and boisterous or with the drunk people down the way. You know who to stay away from. You don't need to know their circumstance to know that you don't have time for their nonsense, so avoid it at all costs. And, you know, that's all judgment. That's all you know, safety mechanisms to me. You know, you go into a crowded room or you go to a party and you go and you scan the one that's going to be, for, you know, less drama, more friendly, whatever it is that's going to cause you the least amount of anxiety, and you're going to gravitate towards that. You know, and all of that are judgment calls. And it's A, how we find our people, and B, how we try to avoid, you know, bad
trouble.
Experiences or the repetition mm-hmm. of previously unfortunate experiences. So it's not always a bad thing. So I fully agree with you, Sky. I'm never all sweetness and light. You know? So I appreciate that you are because you're just all rainbows and fabulousness.
Did you want to open up, Sky? Read and run?
No. I
you're
prepared.
On vacation.
I'm on vacation. I took a nap and I had coffee. I'm gonna hang out. I don't get to stay up late that often or visit your shows because I have school in the morning. But we're on February vacation, so I don't have work tomorrow. I have a class at 12, a painting class, but I could sleep in.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm sorry. I didn't to judge you like that.
I often do have to read one, though. I appreciate your checking.
Wayne, you got any time constraints tonight? You hanging out too?
Well, I just had some people come over to walk in just a few minutes ago, so I'm kind of stressed out right now. I'm listening, but I can't do much right now. I got company.
Here
30 minutes. I'm sorry.
Did you want us to play you now or wait until you have a minute?
Yeah, play me now if you want to, because I'm in.
Okay.
But yeah, play me now if you will.
That way, in case you got to go because you have the company, then you're already getting all your good comments. Let me put you up on the board. Now, Wayne has a SoundCloud. Let me know when you see it.
Yeah, it's the Leaf spell?
Yes.
Okay, I see it.
Okay, give me one second. Okay. Now, if only I could put on my glasses and find out where the heck I am trying to hear this. I will hit play in half a second. Here we go.
This is called The Leaf Film. good times left on the bad time train. Everything was fine till Dad went insane. Military marched on helicopter pad, stepped on shoestring, instructor got mad. Denim danced on dark, dreary days, sister sang solo in her sicken ways. Picking good days and bad, no fun to choose. Didn't matter the choice, we'd always lose. No one laughed, but a smile would seek. Last one I saw was sometime last week. Life went downhill as days crept by. Wouldn't it have been better if not the stick in the eye? Family get-togethers, planning to have fun. Little brother Billy decided to bring gun. Those miserable days became so hot. It was a good time. I didn't get a shot. Three wounded, two pronounced dead. Went to the funeral. The Bible was read. I don't know what led him to kill. All I know, I was left out of the will. And?
It's a great touch of music. You really know how to set a mood, and you know I love, you know, the ending. I mean, this is how you tell a story to me. You know, you talk plainly, you lead them down the road and let their minds wander where they will, and then you hit them in the head with reality. That's a wonderful way. It really was. What'd you think, Kat?
Good times, good times. Yeah, I remember that Led Zeppelin, good times, bad times. Yeah, the little twist, I was waiting for it. I knew it was coming. all I know is I didn't get shot. So, yeah, left out of the will. Sucks. That's funny, guys. It's just very clever the way you piece them together.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's a little dark, you know, because there's a reality of people showing up with with firearms, but you know, he's dealing with the aftermath and the reality of the will. You know, what is it they say, that where there's a will, there's a lawyer. Francine, can you comment for Wayne, please?
Sure, I'm giggling as you're talking. I don't know. I really like this poem, number one. It's very sad, but I kept laughing throughout it, so I don't know. Very, very nicely done. Very clever. I like the words. I like the alliteration. I like Denim danced on dark, dreary days. That was really cool. Sister sang solo in her sickened ways. But the funniest part was the family get-togethers planning to have fun. Little brother Billy decided to bring a gun. I don't know why the story's so funny.
It had that 50s noir feel.
It's great. It's funny and it's sad at the same time.
Can you comment, Sky?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I realized you called on me. Yeah, I thought this was, you know, Wayne, I'm just glad one of us didn't die in this poem, which seems to also be
a... Oh, you already...
I know. You already killed me off. Why you got to do it again?
I'm still waiting for my murderous, you know, thing. I'm just saying.
I'm sorry?
I'm still waiting to get murdered.
Oh, yeah, you haven't murdered Pretty Bird yet? I think he threw me off a cliff, if I recall correctly, while we were camping.
You camping
with Wayne.
Get away with it.
I thought this was fun, and don't feel bad because I laughed too, and I think that's something that Wayne does well, a little bit of dark humor, where he brings in the story, and it's a little twisty and a little turny, and then by the end, you can't help but smile, even though it's a little dark. It's a little dark. But I didn't like dark humor. I thought the lines were set up well. Of course, your rhyming was fun to play with. I liked really at the point where you got to, no one laughed. But a smile I would seek. The last one I saw was sometime last week. It makes me think of the thought process of the speaker and kind of going through the motions and kind of like, all right, let's get this over with now. And then kind of being a little bittersweet at the end. Well, I didn't get any money out of it. So I thought this was quite funny and well done story.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it, man.
Pretty Bird, you got the last word.
Well, okay, so there's a couple of things. I read this before I heard it, and in my head, it's all darkness. And then you come in with the sultry, and you start reading with your voice, and it just reminded me of a really hot, muggy, southern, like, summer day. You know, I get that it's February, but still, that's where it took me. And you know, and dad went crazy in the military, and you know, you hadn't seen anybody smile in a week because I don't know if y'all know about southern summers, but they're miserable. And so, you know, families getting together to have fun. I'm thinking all these kids are going to be forced to the barbecue, and then there's a gun, and all hell breaks loose. And, you know, and after all that, you ain't got nothing to show for it. They forgot all about you. And so I love the way you twist things at the end. But, boy, did you set a mood with that music and the way you read this.
Yeah.
It was a completely different piece than what I read it by myself. So I really appreciate the SoundCloud and your choice of music because that's some nice sultry jazz.
Oh, yeah,
I like that too.
Appreciate it.
You're getting all fancy with your recordings.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All righty. let's see what we got next. Francine, at some point we need you to send in written permission so that we have it on file.
Okay.
If you read
is
it tonight.
Is there a set thing I'll read it, but is there a thing that I have to fill out? Like a form?
Yeah, so it's on the topic board. So it's got the instructions.
Oh, there is a form? Okay.
Well, it's not a form. You go to the topic board, you know, for Rack's group, for his
right.
Show tonight, and there's a link to the group rules and whatnot. And in the comments of that are the instructions on how to do that. It's just an email. You just have to send an email in so they have it on file. Oh, we have a caller. Oh, hello.
How are you all doing tonight?
That sounds like Miss Mindy. How are you?
I'm sorry, I'm fantastic. I'm sorry, I'm a little late.
That's okay. We'll call you White Rabbit. We're just talking about Judgment, and you only missed one poem so far, but it was a doozy. The opener was Wayne. So, depending on who you ask, you might have missed a couple of funny comments in the beginning.
I probably missed a lot more than just a couple of funnies. Breaks my heart.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're just going to get a poem, I think, by Francine next, if she wants to read.
Sure.
Are you ready, Francine?
I'll find it. Yeah, I'll read it. I just got to find where I put it. I know
I'll
put it
board.
Up on the board.
I'll do it.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, mine is kind of nasty because I took the quote literally the way I read it, which was like...
Rant on.
Well, yeah, you'll hear what I said. Who's worthy? You have been weighed, you have been measured, and you have been found wanting. Come back when you're worthy. Who are you to weigh and measure me? Who are you to find me not worthy? Let me tell you what I think about that. You're a pompous ass without a head. Your brain is shriveled up. It's plated in lead. Why do you think I care if I'm worthy enough for you? You have to be important enough for worrying about, too. to me, you're nothing if not stupid and coarse. I could find more brains in my brother's horse. Weighing and measuring is not a measure of worth. Neither is the class you're born into at your birth. Worth is determined by how you act and what you do to help your neighbor as you would have him help you. Worth is about what's in your heart, the good it holds. Worth has nothing to do with a measurement of gold. Worth is found where there's love and peace within, not by measuring the skin you're in. I could care less if you don't think I'm of worth, for you are nothing to me and the dirge of the earth. Before you could think about our measurements for worth, I say you are ignorant and should be measured for dirt. For all your so-called smarts are lesser than few. My worth will be measured when my time is through, and it will not be measured by the likes of you. There's only one judgment that's true. It will be determined by my Father above. It'll be based on agape love and poem.
Wow. I like the attitude that you put to this because, you know, a lot of us, I'm sure, the people that I know at least, are the first ones to say, if I want any shit from you, I'll squeeze your head, you know.
That's right.
Well,
I
got to
tell you, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and that's the way I was brought up. You say something to me, I say it right back to you, so. You know, that's kind of the attitude of the poem. It's a Brooklyn, New York kind of poem.
Well, and you know, everyone's got their regions and their attitudes. I like to claim, you know, Brooklyn is my home too. And you know, but I've come to learn we're not the only ones with the attitude.
Oh, okay.
Let me go to Florida.
Yeah.
And ask someone that has some experience with Brooklyn attitude and brings her own attitude. Pretty Bird?
That would be me. I do have my own attitude. I tend to keep my mouth shut because when I say something, people get all butthurt. Because no, you know, because I'm right there with you. You know, it's just I tend to choose my battles. I'm like, yeah, if they can judge me all they want to, but if I don't give a crap about them, they don't need to know. I'm just like, you go rant on that way. I'm going to go over this way and live my life without you. See you later. Bye. But I absolutely love this because it's all F me. No, F you. You go, goodbye. And, you know, and that's kind of my view on the world because, you know, there's really no reason to show your ass to anybody. You know, first, I mean, feel free to show a second, but you know, if everybody kept their pants on, kept their ass to themselves, the world would be a much nicer place, don't you think? You know, if nobody started it, if nobody started nothing, nobody would have to finish it for them. You know, but I absolutely love this. And you're right. And what people say really doesn't matter. And side note, I'm going to go off on a weird tangent because I tend to do that. What sucks to me, and has nothing to do with your poem, by the way, so, you know, what sucks to me is we are very much like that with strangers as humans. But the meanest people I have ever come across in my life, I'm related to. And the people because they know how to hurt you, and they know what'll be.
Yeah.
They know that if you've been on a diet, they'll be like, are you sure you want to wear that dress? And not out of anything nice, even though they'll be sitting there going, I just want to make sure you feel comfortable. Well, I don't now. Thanks. You know? So the only time I've ever been made to feel unworthy is by those there that are supposed to love us the most. So, you know, just a little side note. But I love this. I love the attitude in this. I love that, don't act like your shit doesn't stink because I can smell it from across the room. So kind of loving that.
You kind of summed it up right there with that, with what you just said too, Pretty Bird, because, you know, they're the only ones whose opinions we care about, you know? It's like, if I don't know you, well, why the hell should I care? But, you know, when someone that you love something, it cuts that much deeper because of your feelings.
Oh, that, and that's where, you know, all that's where mental illness is born, if you ask me. It comes right from home.
Awesome.
I should actually be speaking for my own dysfunction, so don't mind me.
Well, I'm all, the reason that I just wanted to interject for a second, the reason that I, you know, got pissed was because it says you have been weighed and you have been measured and you have been found wanting. And I'm saying to myself, I'm always on a freaking diet and this person's still finding me wanting.
I know, and I'm on a diet. I want a lot of food.
Me too. I'm on the stupidest diets. I never lose weight, but I'm always on the diet. So it just, you know, when I read weighed and measured, it was like, oh, I'll give it to them.
Wayne, can you comment, please?
Wayne, just drop.
Oh. Well, I think Sky might have something to say about this.
Yeah, I thought it was really clever. I liked the empowerment in this, too, and this is in a different way, right, and how you can say, well, who are you to judge me? And I think there are many different ways to judge people, and, you know, people sometimes look at, I guess you would say, where people live, income, dress, and though I agree, it is a self-preserving mechanism, as in Pretty Bird said, as well, I think in the same aspect, it could also be this way. I think there's so many different ways judgment can really fall. And it's unfortunate when it falls like this, when you're saying, okay, well, I'm better than you because I have this, this, and this, and this. I have a house. I have this. And it's a lot of times it's about possession, right? And I think, or what the other person, maybe they're, you know, their possession, maybe accents, you know, different things, the speech, so many things. And when people start thinking they're better than others for whatever reason, rather than just saying different is good, having variations is a good thing with anything, the way people speak or what they wear, different jobs. You know, it's different. It's not better. And I like the way you put it. Like you're saying, you know what? I'm not letting you bring me down. I'm going to be me, and I'm going to be proud to be that. And I think it's important because you're going to get that kind of judgment, unfortunately, you know, anywhere you go, really.
Oh, definitely.
Really well. Yeah.
You bring up that point, Sky, where, you know, someone could be like, you know, giving you a dollar and someone could be giving you $50. You don't know their means. You know, the person that gave you a dollar, that could be all that they have. You know, they could be giving you part of their, you know, milk money or whatever and doing without something, as opposed to, you know, the person with the 50 is like, you know, that they could be burning 20s in their friggin' fireplace. You know, you never know what someone is sacrificing when they do something. So, you know. Anyway, that's part of the thought to me that's wrapped up in all this nonsense too. Hatter, can you comment for Francine?
Yeah, what's bigger than a judgment than picking teams when you're a kid?
Oh, I know.
You know, I mean, they're very little worry about other people's feelings, and everybody sort of knows where they're going to get picked. But let me ask you this question. What's worse, getting butt hurt or getting your panties in a bunch?
Let's say that again.
It would be the same.
I think it's worse to get butt hurt. Because you could untwist your panties.
Well, it depends on if they're wearing a thong or granny panties. Because one bunch
how
is up much better
go?
Than the other. But I'm not going to get into that.
Was it wedgie atomic?
I think either way, at the end of the day, panties in a bunch are butt hurt. You're still butt hurt.
Yeah, but you got to be laughing about that.
Can you comment on the poem, Mindy? Did you want to say something?
I think that the whole judgment thing. I've lately been put into boxes that I have felt that were like less than what I was worth, and I was like, well, why would you think that I would put myself in that position? And also, like what you were saying about the dollar and the 50, you don't know what just because somebody maybe has less doesn't mean that they haven't worked just as hard or maybe twice as hard. So to pour out those kind of judgments are not good. So I kind of hit home a little bit. and
a good point.
I'm not sure, and I feel that to some degree most people go through that every day, not just in small ways.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
And
there's opportunity.
And not just with family. You know, my dad told me when I was little, you know, like, you're not beautiful, you're not pretty, but you're intelligent and you're talented and those kind of things. So, you know, and that wasn't, you know, that was his way of making me not a vain piece of crap at the end of the day. So, like, I never relied on that, and I don't take compliments unless it's, you know, to a regard that isn't physical. So,
you'd be so beautiful if you only lost 15 pounds. Fuck you.
Or, you know, like, you know what? Maybe if he got a different face, he'd be pretty. And it doesn't matter because everybody's beautiful in their very own way. So that's kind of how I took it.
How do you feel about everybody getting a trophy?
Oh, God.
I think that's just wild.
That's
like playing sports my whole life. My parents made sure
that
us boys were busy. But I was in high school before I was ever on a championship team, and I don't think it. I mean, it was something to strive for. I never got a trophy until then. I think.
Yeah, like I never let my kids win in games. And it's because I wanted them to work for it, to strive for it. I didn't ever want them to fall short because I set their bar too low.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's because I got so much crap raising my boys because I wouldn't let them win either. I would give them some leeway as I was teaching them. I would guide them. I wouldn't give them, you know, I wouldn't just, you know, annihilate them. But when they wanted to play on their own, when they were ready to play whatever it was, all right, then let's play some chess. Let's see how you are. And sometimes they kick my ass.
Yeah.
No lie. I was like, all right, then you play better than I do. I ain't going to say nothing.
I got spoken to for not letting my 12-year-old son win at hoops. And my wife said, you got to let him win once in a while. I go, no, I don't.
Right.
I'll tell
you
what. 2 years he's going to be big. 2 years he's going to be bigger than me, and he's going to be jamming. He's going to be slamming by me, and that's exactly what happened. make him work for it. He'll appreciate it more when he becomes that guy, and he did very soon. He's a lot bigger. I don't know where he got his height.
All right. What do we got next, Pretty Bird?
If you want another SoundCloud, we have Arcana.
Okay.
Okay, give me 1 second. And we have Jenny Hunt on the board. Hello, hello. Okay. He is on the board. Let me know when you see him.
You guys are going to have to handle that one.
I see it. I got it.
All right. Here we go.
Such blissful notions of
of sweet solace, ripple the realms of sinking awareness in a cascading caress of wanton wishes that ride the sailing ships of night. Far beyond lands of mellow moonlight, past the sparkling shimmers of starry seas, through glowing prisms of velvet skies that soothe the sways of cradling clouds. Such untold beauty may speak in secrets that rain upon satin sheets of slumber, telling their torrents of tantric tales in the peaceful serenity that floats on sighs. As echoes of stillness fade into dawn, lost in the light that greets stirring eyes, memories linger on morning dew tears, melting into the ether of awakened minds.
Pretty wild. Wow. Talk about the background music, and he added the audio, the voice effect to that. That was really kind of overwhelming for me. Not being able to follow along. I think I got lost a couple of times, but, you know, it was great production. I really enjoyed it. The mention of the minds and whatnot. This hint of sensuality, like I said, though, for me it was a little overwhelming. Hatter, can you comment for Arcana?
Yeah, I've said this before. We're quickly approaching performance art, and it's this radio gig makes it a lot more deep and I can't even speak. You tend to relate more to the reader if he's doing it himself. And the way is it Arcana? Is that what we say, Arcana?
Yes.
Yeah.
Arcana. Yeah. He does it. He classes the place up. He's a lot like Titus and Frank and Gerald Green. Very good.
Gonzo.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hatter. Pretty Bird, what'd you think?
When it comes to romantic rites or, you know, sensuality, I like a plainer version so I don't get lost in the stylized mood. But other than that, I thought that there was a bunch of lovely, lovely lines in here. Where is it? Where is the one that? Let me put on my glasses because girlie's getting blind. Okay, here it is. where is? There were so many of them. Well, we'll start from the beginning with the second line. When darkness twirls the dance of dreams, you know. I wish I could fall asleep, and it was that peaceful and lovely, and such blissful notions of sweet solace. I like that sweet solace. And there's this one, such untold beauty may speak in secret,
that lean upon satin sheets of slumber. You know, there is that wonderful romanticism, that wonderful sensuality. Even if you didn't mention tantric, whatever, it's got that lovely lull to it, and it's so beautifully written. It's just when it comes to very personal rites of sensuality, of touch, of scent, of experience, I want to feel it and not be lost in the overtones. It's beautiful.
Great comment. And Sky?
I thought it was an excellent piece. I especially liked the section here. The too far beyond lands of mellow moonlight passes sparkling shimmers, starry seas, the glowing prisms of the sky and sets soothe the sways of cradling clouds. I thought it was beautiful descriptions and imagery. And it was a little like, I would say, that with the music in the background and with the lines of the lines that they use, I mean, they use tantric tales, but it actually had that type of swaying mystical feel, which was good with the chosen music. But even without it, I think the lines still sway such. And I think, especially with you see the grief, the stirring eyes, that mellow type of wave writing, I would say. Really well done. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, Sky. And Francine?
Well, I didn't see the words. I don't know. Was it up on the board? Because I really didn't see the words.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't get it. Maybe I should have refreshed or something. But from what I heard, I was listening very closely, and it was beautifully written. The imagery throughout it was beautiful. I liked there was one part there about a boat or ship. I'm not sure. I heard something about a ship, and I liked that. And I just thought the music went so well with it. I mean, it really, I thought it vitalized it. Very, very serene and calm. Beautiful poem.
Thank you for giving a ship. Mindy. Mindy.
It put me to mind of loads of things. The cradling clouds and the ship and, like, the same. But, like, you know, I don't know, falling asleep with a best friend or, you know, a lover in a smoky room where, you know, maybe won't talk about it later. But that's kind of where it put me.
Sweet. Thank you. That's everybody, right? Where do we go from here? Let's do Sky. Is it too soon, Sky?
You're the boss. Read whenever.
And you are on the board.
Oh, I see it. Okay.
So I didn't write a new one for you because I've given up writing as of lately. I've been painting too much. But I only have time for so many hobbies. I picked this one because I thought it went with the quote, the perspective that I gave, but also there's inner one too. So there's an inner, there's like a dual, I'm like so bad with words today. There's like a dual kind of judgment happening. The inner judgment of someone judging themselves and finding themselves wanting, the damage that can do for a person, for their relationship, and then ultimately, you know, the second person kind of taking that and having to make their own judgments at some point and make a choice. So I thought that this fit well on different levels, and you've heard it before, I think, but here we go. Between Long Pauses and Insecure Walls by Sky Darko. She liked silver starlight, golden red garlands wrapped around a pale heart, plastic ribbons built of cages. She sprouted commercial promises with bits of false decisions, and I believed her. I convinced myself of things I wanted to believe. I loved the lie. And when she looked in mirrors, braiding herself, between each twine, taking measure of insecurity. She counted doubts like pinpricks on fingers, an index of all the reasons why even a tide wasn't enough. She became rusty and shadowless. I could do nothing but grasp for her, trying to polish all those tarnished pieces, a stranger called lover, pillowed between breast and palm. So when that line became too great, I was placed on shelves, mantled with cracked novelties, a crash of waves resounding in glass globes, perched on the wooden box of her heart's design, unshaken and once loved. And was it hollow, like one might suppose? No, it was not. It was set with tin and revolving cylinders, plucking a tuned piece of vellum, the unremitting drum of ink and poetry. As I spun within that sphere, nailed to its surface, unable to step further or journey past, like Hans Christian Andersen's paper ballerina. But she stayed, deaf to flight, and there I waited for light to tap dance on the corners of her mound, till she grew wet with sobs, those handling glass windows she always stowed behind, till I lifted heavy timber frames, let her stay a while, lie naked in my chest. So the sun changed, and she felt my warmth. But that poison always woke. Those words, spit with good intention, taken back with a semblance of hope crept in. It was then I remember, in the twirl of repeat, I only greet her in the dark, when she feels fit to place key and wind ratchet levers, the coil and spring beneath motor hum, the ones that selfishly recited to her all the things she longed to hear. I've always been happy to place myself in that box, between long pauses and insecure walls, those smiles in the dark, those lies within your eyes. But I find that I'm starting to beat slower, finding that the dust gathered in all those gaping spaces is more damaging than I thought, that even friend is a word you don't quite understand. End quote.
Wow. There's so much beauty in this, and I love that you use the word vellum. I think that's not used enough, but I guess the opportunity doesn't always come up. The whole thing overall, though, the pain of there's a real sense of that, and at the same time, I mean, yeah, you really just, it's so beautiful. I'm getting tongue-tied here. I don't know. Let me save me, pretty bird.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you.
So beautiful. It's been too long since I have heard you read one of your pieces that I just love. I left a long comment here a while ago, but I keep on finding new things every time you read something. And there's this line that I fixated on as you were reading. And it was set with pin and revolving cylinders. And I understand it's all lock and keys and whatever, but it's like words are gunshots. It is like, you know, it's a defense mechanism. And it kind of resonated in that perception of it with me through all of this trying and wanting and longing and all the attempts at affection that were quickly just, you know, there one second and then you're berated the next. And it's, you get down here to, it is then I remember I only greet her in the dark. Because, you know, it's kind of safe in that place, you know? And it's just beautiful and heartbreaking. And that ending gets me every time, you know? That even friend is a word you don't quite understand, because that's one of those words that is kind of thrown around like it doesn't mean anything. So people don't understand when somebody actually takes it to heart that is something to be treasured and cherished. That, oh, yeah, no, we're friends. No, we're acquaintances. There's a difference. And so it just means different things to different people. And that realization when it's somebody you care about is just heartbreaking. So even if
you're your own friend. You know, even in that view of it, it's still, it's even more heartbreaking, you know? Because how many of us can't even be nice enough to ourselves or nicer to strangers than we are to in our own minds? So I just find it funny.
Well, can you come up with that?
Yeah, maybe it's friends with benefits.
That's a slippery slope, Patter. Slippery slope.
Yeah,
I'm biting my thumb.
Much appreciated.
There's so many good lines. It's a complete story. You did it. You pieced it together really well, and I love the ending. And you're right. I remember when my heart was broken because of the word friend. I was taught one way, and the world changed, and I didn't know it. But your true friends, you know who they are. This is a good piece.
Yeah. But the sad realization when you see that, you know, what you think of as a friend, someone else treats like nothing. Francine, what did you think of this piece?
Oh, I loved it. I think I interpreted it a little different. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'll throw it in there. I felt that when she was looking in the mirror, that it was she wasn't happy with herself. She was insecure. She had doubts. She was pinching herself, pinpricks on her fingers and whatever. And I think maybe it made her fall like into a depression. And the index of the reasons why, even the tide wasn't enough. She became rusty in shadows. I could do nothing but grasp for her. You know, when people get depressed, they kind of go into themselves. And it just seems like she just went into herself and she wasn't available to her friend. And she put her friend in a place where her friend was so confused that she felt like she was going in a spinning wheel and very upset and trying to reach her, but she couldn't. I like the line, like Hans Christian Andersen's Paper Ballerina. That was really beautiful. But she stayed deaf to plight, and there I waited. But she was waiting and waiting for her friend to come back to her, but she was like off on her own. Or in herself. And then I really loved the ending, because she talks about, I've always been happy to place myself in that box between long pauses and insecure walls, smiles in the dark, but I find I'm starting to beat slower. I love it. And then even friend is a word you don't quite understand. I really thought it was beautiful, all in all.
And you're not wrong about the perspective. I love seeing different perspectives, and but you're not wrong about the feeling of the perspective, because it's from one person
right.
to the other. And the beginning of the perspective is someone going through all those things and another person kind of standing outside of that. So definitely, yeah.
And Mindy, what'd you see?
A lot. That was beautiful and painful. I'm kind of collecting my thoughts on it. Like to love and feel for somebody that's feeling that emotional pain in themselves, trying to console somebody that slipped themselves into an emotional condom and you can't reach them. And no matter how close you want to be, you can never be close enough because you can't.
Great comment. Thank you, Mindy. All right. Titus always gets stuck at the end. Let's do Titus so that he gets some prime time here.
What's funny is I had already copied the link. He's on the board. And let me know when you guys see him. Hmm. You guys got them?
Help me out, guys. You see the link on the board? Who's in the chat room?
Got it.
I'm still here.
Here
I'm on the wrong page, I think. Hold on. Oh, gee whiz.
You got it?
Yep. Got it.
Here we go.
Ceteris paribus. Lucky quem in apiter. The law of this land in layman's terms tells us we are not allowed to make so obvious an attractive verse. Alas, this one confirms their ridicules of making mine opprobrious. That rhyme shall be a victim to the rule, the cliche as they say it will never speak. Enlightenment it is to free verse cruel, stitching for it becomes a scant critique. When all said and done, thus straggly verse is found, the lame duck as such it begins to unravel tired minds, who'd reimburse the fabric of being one of the seven sins. Cotton thread to the needle each to choose, didst openly persuade me, so and so, such lengths to heal the fray should I refuse, to eat these said hors d'oeuvres on pour de jour.
Wow. You know, in the beginning, well, it was a brevity, so I guess the beginning is subjective a little bit, huh? The mention of the cliche and the lines around that really hit home. He hits on so much reality of when you look at a situation. I think it really hits home. It's right up his alley too. It's funny the way that the quote the movie that it came from, that type of scenario. I think a lot of us relate a lot of his readings and his writing style to that kind of era. And I think this was a little more to the point and straightforward. You know, he brought it back to the this one of the seven deadly sins in the Bible. Even you know, Titus is very brilliant and insightful, and this was no exception. This is beautiful, Titus. Thank you for sharing that tonight. Francine, can you comment for Titus?
Oh, I loved it too. It was very the lore of the land in layman's terms told us we're not allowed to make so obvious an attractive verse. I thought that that was like a very wise way to start what he was trying to say, you know, that you can't like change what you want to say to please anyone. It has to be attractive to you, and you have to be able to say it the way you want to say it. The rhyme shall be the victim to this rule. Cliche, as they say, it will never speak. And to a free verse, cruel stitching, for it becomes scant critique. You know, I just think his way of speaking or writing is just so unique. It's just beautiful. I don't know what else I can say. It's all the way through. I mean, it is a brevity, but the way it sounds like he's trying to say, you know, we should be able to write what we want and the way we want it and not be condemned for the way that we're saying it. That's kind of what I got out of it. I don't know. I don't know, Titus, if I'm reading it right. But I enjoyed it. Hmm?
No, you said brevity. It was a scant critique. It was lovely. Thank you, Francine.
And we have Deb on the line. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Sorry that you're hanging. I was all enthralled in the Titus.
Yeah, we're just getting some comments from Titus. From Titus, for Titus, not from him. Anyway, Sky, can you comment for Titus real quick?
I have to agree with the previous commenter. I missed who it was. It's the voice, but I agree. I think with the lines, I felt the same way when it came down to when all is said and done, thus straggly verse is found, the lame duck as such the beginning, and unraveled on minds reimbursed. And I think when people, I think I was just talking about this to somebody. I think it was a kid, actually, and we were talking about poetry, and they were like, oh, well, if you're a poet, you know, you'd be famous, and I'm like, well, most poets don't get famous till after they die, and it's kind of like a grim reality.
And even then, it's a small amount, small number.
So when you think about judgments and when you think about critique and going down that line, and saying, you know, what should be your point for writing? Would it be to appease the masses, or is it to, you know, purge the soul? And I think that when you start to worry about those critiques, and when you worry about that quote-unquote judgment, it sometimes you can get away from yourself and away from what you're truly about to say. And I think it's important to be true to yourself. So I agree with, like I said, the previous commentator, that kind of going down those lines, especially in that stanza, I thought it was done quite nicely. Well done.
Brilliant. Heather, can you comment for Titus?
Yeah, Titus always classes the place up, you know. I love the one part, where is it? The lame duck as such is begins to unwrap fired minds who'd reimbursed the fabric of being one of the seven sins. Oh my God. Which one? Seven sins. No, he's got these meanings all the way through this piece, as he does most all his rights. Just impressive. Thank you, Titus.
I'm pretty hard.
Titus. Okay. Here is my take, and I am sure I'm wrong. I'm always wrong, but whatever. I'm good with it. Okay, Titus is one of those people that writes kind of perfect old-school poetry. He is a bard of the highest order. He is all iambic pentameter and beautiful, beautiful verbiage, and there's a grace to the way he writes. And what I see in this is that there's an argument among poets, not just on this site, but all over the internet, in that real poems, you know, if it haps rhyme versus if you sound like Dr. Seuss, I'd rather write free verse, you know, and free verse is more emotive and yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. But he writes. I mean, he does reverse, but he writes a lot of rhyming. And this is a wonderfully elegant little pithy comeback for, well, cliche as it may be. Okay, I'm not taking it apart to change it to what you want. So, you know, I'm not going to eat the crap you're feeding me. I'm good, thanks. And so I absolutely love that. Because how graceful is this poem to say that? And that at least that's what I see. I could be completely wrong, but that's what I see. So forgive me, Titus, if I'm in left field.
I think that's brilliant. Yeah, in between, I think both you and Sky nailed it. And then Mindy, did you want to say something on this piece? You don't need to. Just, you know, you're probably a little overwhelmed. This is like the second time you've ever called in. I know so.
Unmuted.
She may have dropped.
I'm working on half a screen, so I can only see bits and pieces. But she dropped.
That's cool. Okay. Debs, did you catch Titus's brevity here?
I think I heard pieces of it just as I was dialing in, but while you guys were commenting and stuff, I was looking at it, and I was taken by all the awesome metaphors throughout. But the beginning is, I think, my favorite, the law of this land in layman's terms tells us we are not allowed to make so obvious an attractive verse. Alas, this one confirms their ridiculous making mine opprobrious. And, like, only sometimes when I get done listening to or reading one of Titus's poems, I'm like, you take a double take because this could be one from books. And I don't like to say like the old timers because it's not that it's got an up to date feel to it totally, but it's the timelessness, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, that goes with the poems that stand the test of time and the way Titus writes and coupled with the way he reads. I love his pronunciation and stuff. It's always awesome to get to hear. And you get to stuff like when all said and done, the straggly verse is found, the lame duck as such it begins to unravel tired minds. It's just, it was like a trip through a couple different types of poetry and what they might, the effect might be of it. And I like at the end of that one where he mentions one of the seven sins. It seems like you can't do anything right sometimes. And I don't know, it's just really cool, complex.
Yeah, I really, really love this one, Titus. Thank you. Thank you, Deb. I'm guessing you probably want to read and run?
Yeah, kind of, but I don't want to, I mean, whatever is good.
We can put you up next if you like.
Cool, please.
I suppose I should say that Sky's been on the board saying that she's demanding me, but I am good to go after you, Deb.
No.
I'm just putting that out there because he can't see.
But you see that pouty face on the board? It's all
I do.
I gave her a pouty face in her inbox. That's even better. Personalized pouty face. That's what I want.
It's Face Guy because I was thinking about opening with hers too, but you know.
How about if I go after Pretty Bird?
That sounds good. Oh my goodness, y'all are funny. Okay, I'm choosing Contagion Rack just so that you know.
Okay, but I would have known when you started reading.
Okay, this is. It's my own little rant, one of many. This is Contagion in the Eyes of Others. Don't look at me with sad eyes reflecting a life you chose to hate. Good intentions backed by bad juju. I see it behind your dead-end job, hidden in your lack of hobbies. There in the emptiness in your mind is the remnants of a dream you let atrophy. As it got weak, you got stuck in place. You got stuck in a place you thought would be another stepping stone. Do not look at me with eyes shooting bile behind a smile that breeds contempt. I refuse to be touched by your silent hope of my failure. You cannot kill my dreams just because you let yours die. Do not look at me with eyes that plead for me to carry you along for my ride. It is mine alone. My dream cannot feed you. I will not lay it at your feet to sully its purity with the soles of the shoes you use to walk through your own crap. Do not look at me with the hope that my dreams will give their life for yours. Smile and the world smiles with you only works when hope springs eternal. And there is no hope in that job that grows while watching your soul die. So I do not smile as I walk down the street. I look straight ahead, holding fast to all that makes me whole. And if I do look at you, I look at you with kindness and I'm happy for your success. I look at you with understanding, for we are all going through the consequences of our choices. I look at you with hope that you see me and remember you once had a dream. I look at you and wish you love and peace, and maybe, reflected in my eyes, you can see the best of who you are. And home.
I just love this. I mean, from the sarcasm of the, how did you put it, the shoes that you walk through your own crap? I mean, that's brilliance in itself. But I mean, the whole piece, and also the fact that, you know, we touched on it in the beginning when we were just talking before we dug into the poetry about you know, judging things isn't necessarily a bad thing, you know, and you're bringing out that very point when you talk about, you know, when you look at something, you know, you are where you need to be and things like that, and you know. you can't compare me to you because, you know, you both have different lives kind of a thought. So all of those emotions are in there. This is so, you know, beautifully written and deep and, you know, I just, you know, I'm still a fan.
Much appreciated.
Deb, can you comment for Pretty Bird?
Yeah, another must-see poem from Pretty Bird. My, oh, my. I could pick every single stanza. I like good intentions backed by bad juju. Love, love, love that line. As I got weak, you got stuck in a place you thought would be another stepping stone. Do not look at me with eyes shooting bile behind a smile that breeds contempt. The attitude, can't say that word. yeah, the power, the grit, in your face message, I look at you and wish you love and peace, and maybe reflected in my eyes, you can see the best of who you are. It's like turning it back around and saying, you know, you might be, I have to keep biting my tongue on the words I want to say there. You might be a real jerk, but I wish you nothing but the best. There's just a full circle attitude. I think this is fantastic.
Thank you.
And I'm not going to make you wait any longer, Sky. I know you got something to say.
I know. Is it biased, though? I don't think so. where am I? There are so many things. I love this one. This is definitely one of my favorites. And, I'm going to put it on my list. Oh, apparently it's still on my list. Pull on my front page list. I love this because I think that one of like the worst things people can do is they can try to take away from somebody else this happiness, their accomplishments, their wealth, because they are feeling that they're not enough of themselves. So they deflect all those emotions and they say, oh, well, I had dreams and I had this and I'm not where I'm going to be. So instead of being happy for somebody, instead of supporting them, I'm going to try to take them down a notch because I'm not quite happy with myself. And whether it's a stranger, a friend, or even worse, a loved one, and sometimes people can do it without even realizing they're doing it. They could be completely unaware that they are being toxic. And I love how you say that. And then when you say specifically atrophy, I have to find it because I started scrolling around here. But when you speak, here we go. You know, there is an emptiness in your mind. It is the remnants of a dream you let atrophy. Love that metaphor. Love the use of atrophy, that dwindling away, that wasting away of one's dreams over time. I thought that was such a beautiful and very pinpoint, like it was just needle pinpoint way to say that. And then when you get down to, there was another part that I wanted to get to, but I don't think I'm going to thirst it so much. But I loved how you said that. But then I even loved that you go even further. You don't just stop there with that. You don't even stop. I will not let you dim my light. I will not let you do this to me. I realize you are not in a good space. You have gone through your own crap. You're in a bad space, but I'm not going to let you bring me down. I'm going to be proud of what I earned. But even further, you're going to have, or the speaker is going to have compassion for that other person. And I think that, there sometimes love is hard and sometimes you have to show people like, this is what you're doing. You may not realize it, but you're being disbased or even loving someone through that and saying, I'm going to try to work with this. I'm going to try to be that light for other people to show them that this is what they could be that inspiration and that they could meet their goals. And have that kind of compassion. And I think at the end, when that perspective, I wasn't quite expecting that perspective, that unconditioned thing, you know, I'm gonna help you find your way by just being me. And I'm going to have compassion for what you're going through. And I think that is such a beautiful thing. I really, really love this one. I have lots of emotion. Really well.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. But thank you, sweetheart. That's awesome.
And, Paddock, can you say something for Pretty Bird, please?
Yeah. They're called Dream Stompers. And you're right. They've either lost their, gave up on their dream, and they won't allow you to have yours. And the one good piece of advice is get distance between you and them.
Not always that easy, but yes, if it's possible, run for the hills.
Yeah, no, it's not. But it's not your fault. You know.
No. Yeah.
way to reconstruct what they lost, that's one thing. But I've known dream stompers, and it borderlines on evil sometimes.
It sure does feel that way. Nothing like those two-faced smiles when they just hope you fall flat in your face. Oh, sure, I'll be there to support you and laugh as you eat it.
Oh, face plant. Francine, can you give Pretty Bird a comment, please?
Oh, I love the attitude of this one. This is wonderful. Do not look at me with eyes that plead for me to carry you along for my ride. It's mine alone. My dream cannot feed you. I love it. I will not lay it at your feet to sully its purity with the soles of the shoes you use to walk through your own crap. So true. Oh, I love that line. Okay, and
yeah.
After we go through all the nastiness, we get the sweetness at the end. I look at you with hope that you see me and remember you once had a dream. And I look at you and wish you love and peace. And maybe, I love this ending, reflected in my eyes, you can see the best of who you are. That is so beautiful. It's such a sincere wish, I believe, that you have for the person that's been giving you the little stabs behind your back. You know, really, you want to help them, but they need to help themselves first and need not to be so spiteful of what you have worked so hard for.
Excellent.
So I really did love this.
Thank you.
And I guess we could put Deb on the board.
See, there's still a little Brooklyn left in me. Deb's on the board, by the way.
Fearless leader.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I didn't know.
Sorry.
I was a little silent for a minute. My bad.
Go ahead, Debs. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, I brought a poem it's a double poem. I call it an acrobrevirap. It's an acrostic brevity. In rhyme, wrapped in a free verse poem. Anyway, I hope there's nobody in the room that's offended by the word S-H-I-T. I don't think there's too many 13-year-olds that haven't heard it, but it is in this poem. And the poem is called In a Crash of Yellow Maple Leaves. And the acrostic brevity is Pedestals Dweller skydives into the snake pit. People laugh as the marble hits. Onyx bits float with steaming shit. And the wraparound poem is pedestals of ebony marble rock side to side. Dweller placed on top bends, inhales, and skydives off the teetering edge. Into the dark eye of a twister as the air spins over the ledge of a snake pit blanketed in shed skins and feces. People whisper as heads shake and they laugh with neon fingers pointing aglow as they spread the she shed party line. And the I heard symphonies on grapevines knocking marble platforms down with the vibrations of hits and pokes laced with poison hid by smiles. On its horizon eats the sunshine, spitting out bits and chunks of goldenrod into sewers to float downstream with the gutter rats and with trash tossed into cracked manholes, steaming the cologne of toilet-flushed shit logs and broken daydreams and palm.
You know, I got to love it. Damn, nobody could say you're full of shit. It's right there on the page now. Wow. You dug into some of the more, I think, technical pieces, too, by putting the acrostic in there and wrapping it around. So, you know, that makes it that much more, I think, elegant, as it were, if shit can be elegant. And you piled it on too. No, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stop.
You already went there.
I already did. Yeah.
I did. I'm sorry, Deb. I really like this though. You know, there's a bit of attitude, but I think you know it's required for what you're talking about too. You know, you bring out you know a really good point. I think you're talking a little about gossiping, maybe talking. Well, anyway, I just appreciate it. You know, some people, you know, when they do stuff like that, they don't realize the effect that it has sometimes, or sometimes they do, and they're trying to knock someone down, and I guess it's out of jealousy. You know, you bring that out in this piece in a beautiful, poetic way. Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. Appreciate that. And you know how sometimes people sit there and they go on and on and on about someone and you think, do you really think that I don't know that when you hang up you're going to call the next person and talk about me like that? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, the gossip, the he said, she said, and the I heard symphony on the grapevine. It's like, you know, and I thought you were pretty cool, and I had you up there on a pedestal. And the sad reality is, it's usually the person that I put on the pedestal that knocks their own ass off. So what do you do?
Well, they say man puts woman up on a pedestal so he can look up her skirt. Hatter, can you make a comment for Deb?
Yeah, you know, every time I hear a toilet flush, I know there's a daydream just vanishing somewhere. No,
okay,
I thought this is great. that correlation there at the end just kind of threw me. That's pretty funny.
Thanks, Hatter. Oh, and I invented, by the way, a few years ago.
Guy, what'd you think?
Well, actually, before I made my comment, if you didn't mind that, that's what I was going to go into. I'm like, what is this? This looks really cool, and I want to do it. What is this?
an acrobreva rap, acrostic brevity wrapped, acrobreva rap.
And you made it up. How come you never showed this to me before?
She's gonna talk about you after.
I know.
Yeah, I have a few of them, but yeah, you start obviously with the brevity. And if you do the brevity in rhyme, you do the rap in free verse. And if you do the brevity in free verse, you do the rap in rhyme. I have them
so
both
did you
ways.
Start with the bold? I have questions, Deb. I will comment. I have questions. I feel like Hatter right now. Did you start with the bold and then fill in after?
Yes.
Or did you try to do it line by line?
No, I wrote the brevity down the acrostic side of the poem, and then I went back and filled in a secondary story with the same theme enough to tie them together. Hope that makes sense.
You've impressed me. I'm impressed. I love it. It's really creative, the form in itself. I thought it was just absolutely brilliant. As for the poem, I loved it as well. I have to admit, I'm pretty blown away by the form not taking away from the lines, which is always hard to do when you have to start with a certain letter or start with a certain word. And I do love form, and so I'm not saying anything against that, but it is hard when you do that because you have to try to fit into it with fluency. And sometimes the must takes away from the fluency. I don't think it does here. I think you did a great job. Your verbiage was great. Symphonies of grapevines knocking. I particularly liked that line. And there was another one that I particularly liked. What is this? Guy dies off the teetering edge. I thought it was stark. I thought that you got your point across very, very quickly. You know, it was fierce in you, the way that you described it, especially towards the end. And it's unfortunate that, you know, some people, they let us down for whatever reason. And it's almost an inevitability at some point. Hopefully those letdowns are outweighed or aren't too drastic where you're kind of getting into at the end. And I can't say enough. I love this form. I know you won't mind, but I'm going to try it. I mean, I haven't been writing much, but I am going to save this and try to do it. I think it's really cool. I love when people can be creative and create forms. You did a really great job.
Oh, please do. And thank you. That was an amazing comment.
If you put it backwards, you're the devil.
I would love to see it when you're done, too.
Yeah. Don't worry, Deb. When we talk about you after you hang up, you can always play the recording.
I know. But the thing is, you record it, and I can listen to that shit later.
I guess we could put. We need to put Hatter on the board. Did you finish your last two lines, couple of lines, Hatter?
Yep, I think so. I didn't do a final read, so it's just crapshoot.
Oh wow!
Unintended.
Got it. Tell me when you see it.
It's up.
I took the same kind of angle as I forgot who it was.
Arcana?
No, it was I didn't know what went. Well, you'll figure it out. It's called Who the Hell Are You?
Francine.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. Francine, that's right. Who the hell are you? It goes like this. I need somebody to read this. I can't read it.
Hatter needs a reader. Who can we volunteer?
Please.
I'll read.
I'll read
I just
it.
Read, though. That's the reason I didn't say anything.
Thank you.
Do you want me to, Rex? Somebody
yeah,
else
please.
Say me? Who the hell are you? By Jay Hatter. Here we go. You have been weighed, you have been measured, and you have been found wanting. Come back when you're worthy. The words I heard while being turned back. When did they do that? Where could it have been? Who do I talk to and where would I send the letter to whom it may concern? The longer I think about, the more I'm pissed. I think it should go something like, Dear Sirs. Or
like this.
Are you not? I've heard the words they say are true. I'm wondering how you know me, and who the hell are you? Have you measured the width of the moon, or counted steps so you might see, read the tat across my... It says, I'm more than worthy. There's much to say about a quiet man that sits to watch the world go by. Valhalla knocks when spoken to. Never once was a measured try. I think the test is about someone else. Measure this if you can see. The path we took that got us here speaks of spirituality. My height is measured by the mountains. My life is measured by the sea.
what is that you think you're doing trying to measure me? And pull.
Yeah. Well, you sadder. Well read, Dev. I really like that. Awesome. You know, who the hell are
I'm
you?
Sorry. Raconteur, I'm sorry. Hatter, was that more poem at the bottom?
No.
Okay. Sorry, Raconteur.
No, it's not. It's supposed to take it off. Sorry. I'll fix it. Thank you.
It looked perfect to me, Hatter. That was a great read. That was a great read, Dev. See, and you know right you know what he meant. So, you know, that's I guess a testimony to your writing skill. There you go. And you know there's an attitude behind the statement to begin with, and you know the proper response I believe is, you know, who the hell are you? You know, brings so much thought to mind about that you know when someone looks at you and judges. You know, how are you even qualified? You know, that whole idea comes to mind, and it's just, I don't know, it puts you in a bad spot, I think, you know, when someone does something like that. And I don't know, maybe it's naive to think that, you know, some people don't do it on purpose, but, you know, I know there are people out there that do it on purpose. And, you know, that whole thought, again, starts my mind spinning. This is beautiful, Hatter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott, can you comment for Hatter?
Yeah, I love it. That's my attitude in it. I think it's great. I love the last two verses, last two stanzas. I think they're beautifully done. I think the test is about someone else. Measure this if you can see. My height is measured by the mountains. My life is measured by the sea. That's beautiful. What is it that you think you're doing trying to measure me? Really beautiful.
Scott, you did a great presentation of Francine.
Thank you.
Are you there, Scott?
Yeah, Francine was still talking, so I didn't know if you called on me or not.
Sorry, I thought you said me. I thought you said Francine. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I was reading a message. This is a great piece, Hatter. I thought this was a really. I liked the way you did it. I liked the rhyme, and I liked. And I hate to use the word simplicity because I mean that with the greatest respect. When you boil down the words and you give the words, but the complex nature of which you put them together, how you have to take that rhyme and feed it through with the message, it becomes less, I guess, simplistic when it comes to that. But the words are quite rooted. And when you hear, when you see piercers, or are you not? I've heard the words they say are true. I'm wondering how you know me. Who the hell are you? Absolutely brilliant. And I think that was my favorite part because I thought it was, and you would appreciate this because in the way what I mean by is you use the word Susian, right? So it's like a Susian vibe down here, but then you transition out of that. That's what I mean by simplicity yet, simple but complex. But you transition out of that, which I think is cool because you don't keep that vibe throughout the whole piece. You keep the rhyme, but it becomes a little bit more, I guess, meatier with the wreath attached across my chest. I'll say more than worthy. And kind of speaking, as I would say, you were right, more of what Francine was saying, who are you to judge me? Who are you to measure my worth? And I thought you did it in a really great way. Really well done. Sorry.
Thank you.
It's like almost 1 o'clock. I'm getting dizzy now.
And Deb, you read it, Hatter. What'd you think?
Well, for starters, aside from the poem, I have the Who and Led Zeppelin battle in my head now. between the title and a couple of the lines and then the mention of Valhalla in there, it was just like, whoa. And it kept trying to take me over as I was reading. But I think
it's really cool. I like how there's the questions throughout it. Have you measured the width of the moon? Who the hell are you? Dear sirs, or are you not? I've heard the words they say are true. I just, like, you had some attitude in there, too. But, like, I think the test is about someone else. Measure this if you can. And I don't even want to know what this is. as we took that goddess
here. It was middle finger. It was his middle finger.
And oh, wait, where was the tat? That one got me, too. I can't. Yeah, like, bend over, and it says, well, depending on the view, mom or wow. Anyway, no, I had all, like I said, I had two songs battling in my head, and I had all these questions, and I thought that it was really cool. And I always like reading from the header.
You know, I was, when I was writing this, I was watching this documentary thing on the Vikings. They were talking about Valhalla. They got in there somehow. I don't know. I didn't think that was what I thought.
Cool. So, where we at, Pretty Bird?
Let's see. Well, we have you.
Uh-huh.
I think that's where we are. I think we went through everybody.
All righty. I guess throw up what nothing
Rack
looks
up.
Like.
Well, no, because you said it's I guess. So that's what's going up.
I thought you put them both up.
Nope, because you didn't take two. But so there is this one that's on the board, and let me know when you see it.
I see it.
You got it?
Me too.
Okay, here we go.
I guess, by Raconteur. So, I crushed your dreams and tore out your heart. Pulled back the curtain, revealed what you suspected from the start. People see what they want to see. I'm just an illusion, merely a wannabe. All I've done, a lie or a joke. No emotion or truth in anything I spoke. You talk of winning as if it were a game. Watching as I drown in tears used to douse the flame. You say you want to be alone, betrayed by all you've been shown. I guess it's my chance to do something right, grant your wish, and stay out of your sight. I guess I'm the fool for thinking I could ease your strife. Delusions of adequacy, condemned to the shadows of your life. End poem.
You know, there's something. What?
An Elton John song, almost. Don't let the sun go down on me. Beautiful.
I concur.
It reminded me of it. I didn't mean he took it. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Delusions of adequacy. There is something in that line that is just profoundly heartbreaking, because it's usually delusions of grandeur where you think like you know, you're, you know, holier than thou, yada yada yada, blah blah blah. But delusions of just being adequate, of being mistakenly, you know, thinking that you're good enough for a second, that is heartbreaking. And there's a line in here: people see what they want to see, and that is kind of the bane of everyone's existence, because it doesn't matter how honest a person we are or how true we are in our feelings or in the ways we try to convey things, people are going to see what they want to see. And their perception is screwed by their emotions, by what kind of day they're having, by what they want to believe you are and, you know, how they would react in that situation. Therefore, they can't trust what is coming out of your face. And that's kind of the way life is, which kind of sucks. But, you know, people see what they want to see.
You know, I'm just an illusion, merely a wannabe. All I've done, a liar, a joke, no emotion or truth in anything I spoke. Like, everything, like, you just talk crap all the time. Like, there is not a moment of truth up in there. And not for nothing, even the most, you know, evil person I know doesn't lie all the time, you know. You know, every other word, perhaps, but not. But nobody can do that 100% of the time. And it's heartbreaking. It comes down for me to that delusions of adequacy. That just sums it up so poignantly. You know, condemned to the shadows for all you wanted to do, for all you tried to help, you're just nothing. That's what that feels like, and it's very, very heartbreaking. So, Miss Sky, I know how you have this love affair with this Hurt Locker, so please feel free to comment.
I know, I do have a love affair. I do. It's because every time I read it, I feel so emotionally moved. I really do. And I think great poetry moves you. And the Hurt Locker, every single one of them does. And but it's just, you can like live in this emotion. The reader really can sink in and just melt and sink, go completely under the water, and kind of feel this the way that you speak, especially because it's always first person. It's always very, like, I would say the word would be intimate. It's always very intimate. And I like the perspective that you took, and it's so cool how that there are many different people in the line tonight, and there's many different opinions and different, just by, you know, talking, but also different perspectives of the poem and where everybody went with their poem on this quote. And I think this is one that hasn't been done yet. And I think that's just, it's amazing how one thing can pull out so many different perspectives. And I think I would have to agree with Pretty Bird where, you know, the feeling of an inadequacy and not being enough for someone. And when you speak at the beginning, there's a moment where it could go either way. You know, I'm sorry, I crushed your dreams, I tore your health, pulled back the curtain, revealed that you suspected from the start. That could really go both ways. It could be, I'm really the bad guy here, and I'm sorry for letting you down. This is just who I am. It's someone maybe speaking arrogantly, but then as the poem progresses, you start to see that it's not. It's quite the opposite. It's another person putting you know, this wild expectation, or in the other person not feeling that they were enough, and what it would seem like they had tried their best, and now they feel like they'd let the other person down, or you know they're the fool, which isn't always the case. And I think did a great job. And like I said, my favorite part of this was that in the beginning it really could have went both ways, and you have to start to read and move forward to see that the perspective is actually different. Really well done.
Awesome.
Thanks.
And Deb, your thoughts?
Well, I have this one on a list. I remember the first time I heard it was just like, well, like most of the Hurt Locker, it just packs a punch. It just gets you. Man, people see what they want to see. I'm just an illusion, merely a wannabe. And people see what they want to see is so true. Sometimes it doesn't matter what you say or what you do, they're going to see you in a particular way, and that's banging your head on a brick wall. You can't change theirs. The way they feel. You say you want to be left alone, betrayed, but all you've been shown, I guess it's my chance to do something right, grant your wish, and stay out of your sight. I mean, it's just, it just keeps hitting from the beginning to the end, and it's truly just like the picture. It's heartbreaking. It's, I crushed your dreams and tore out your heart, pulled back the curtain, revealed what you suspected from the start. It's just, like I said, hard-hitting all the way through, and just as hard-hitting this time as the first time.
Absolutely. and Hatter. Did you want to add something else to your earlier comment?
Yeah, the comment I made earlier about Elton John, it was the Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me when he says, I'm just a fragment of your life to wander free. So that's that line of just to stay out of sight. I thought that was a good
wow.
Good way to put that. Yeah, no, I mean, Bernie Taupin, huh? yeah, you would want to wish also that if you lose a trait, lose a skill, lose a sense, that it enhances the world around you. And I think it does when you're younger, but we forget that drive. We forget that comes natural when you're young. We forget that. We forget how to fight. And it's a hard thing to do. They got a lot out of this. The rack, good job. Rack them up.
Thanks.
Back to you, Rack.
Well, you said that was the end, so.
That is.
I like to thank everybody that took the time to hang out and listen to me and, you know, just all the playbacks and everything else. And thank the AP Taylor Foundation for making this possible. I guess that brings the evening to a close. Thank you again, Pretty Bird, for making me look good. That's not an easy job, I know. And join us again. Deb, I'm sure you got some stuff coming up. I know Thursday we got Sweet Show.
Actually, we don't. There was a death in the family, so the show is postponed, and I do not have a rain date at the moment. I'm trying to think. Next show might not be till Saturday. I'm trying to double check that as I fumble here. Let's see. Okay, March. Yeah, the next show is on Saturday with an AP and myself. And the topic is curtains, wherever the word curtains takes you. And that's at 9 p.m. on Saturday. And then on Monday, on Personal Prompt Mondays, there's some really cool art and there's some really amazing lines from none other than Ms. Pretty Bird to choose from.
Pretty Bird.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of poetry her words inspire, and that's at 10. And,
Pretty Bird, you got a show coming up, don't you? You have a show coming up, Pretty Bird?
Yeah, I don't know what it's on yet. It's next Tuesday. 10
okay.
o'clock. Check the board. It'll be there one of these days.
Sky, you got something going on at Poetic Slice?
I do, and I have an important announcement because there's been that we've over at Poetic Slice, I'm sure people have noticed if they follow the page and the topic boards and the shows, that there's been a complete overhaul and change in a lot of the things that's going on. And one of the changes that is permanent, that's important to know, that my show will no longer be on Saturday night. I had to change it for personal it was a good time to change it. So it's going to be on Thursday nights on at 8 o'clock. So we'll overlap here, and hopefully sometime since I'll already be up, I can visit like I do on Saturdays. But so it is on Thursdays from on going forward. And the next show is the sci-fi film Conehead. So it's going to be fun. If you have a humorous poem, bring humor, because if you've ever seen Conan, it's hilarious. If you have an alien poem, bring it. It doesn't necessarily have to be about the film. You could just bring the topic, or you could write to any of the quotes, themes, even if off-topic from the topic itself. And like always, I'll have clips and fun facts and poetry.
Okay.
It is staying on 8. It's being moved. Thank you. Permanently.
With that, I guess that brings the evening to a close. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. It was a great show. Good night, guys.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.